The epistle appointed for this, the 19th Sunday after Pentecost, is taken from St. Paul to the Ephesians. Brethren, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new man, which has been created according to God in justice and holiness of truth. Wherefore put away lying and speak truth, each one with his neighbor, because we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down upon your anger. Do not give place to the devil. He who is wont to steal, let him steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands at what is good, that he may have something to share with him who suffers need. And please stand for the Holy Gospel, which is according to St. Matthew. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. At that time, Jesus spoke to the chief priests and the Pharisees in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who made a marriage feast for his son. And he sent his servants to call in those invited to the marriage feast, but they would not come. Again, he sent out other servants, saying, 'Tell those who are invited, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fatling are killed, and everything is ready. Come to the marriage feast.' But they made light of it and went off, one to his farm, another to his business, and the rest laid hold of his servants and treated them shamefully and killed them. But when the king heard of it, he was angry, and he sent his armies, destroyed those murderers, and burnt their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The marriage feast indeed is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Go therefore to the crossroads and invite to the marriage feast whomever you shall find.' And his servants went out into the roads and gathered all who they found, both good and bad. And the marriage feast was filled with guests. Now the king went in to see the guests, and he saw there a man who had not on a wedding garment. And he said to him, 'Friend, how didst thou come in here without a wedding garment?' But he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, 'Bind his hands and feet and cast him forth into the darkness outside, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen.'" This is the end of the epistle and gospel reading. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. This morning, St. Paul is pointing out to us about putting on the new man. And it's a reminder also for us that we don't want to fall backwards. We don't want to live our former lives, either by the lives that we used to live, trying to fulfill our own pleasures and needs, and not really caring about anything else. As he points out a little bit, those who steal, stop stealing. Those who do any wrongdoing, they should to stop that. Stop trying to please ourselves and working for ourselves. It's not about us. It's not about you or me. We got to take our service deeper for a higher goal. As the Catechism teaches, to know, love, and serve God. It can't be about me or you. It's got to be about Him. And when we start cooperating with grace and fulfilling our daily duties and trying to conquer our predominant faults, we're on the right track. And we have to be patient with ourselves, because we can't do this in one day. We always have to be reminded over and over and over again, our goal. Why are we here? What is my purpose here? It isn't to gain the whole world. It's not here to have all the pleasures of the world. It has to be higher than that. It has to be about God. And we have to always keep our hearts and minds focused on that as much as possible. Because it's very easy, very, very easy to go to the other side and say, what's the use? If we look at the natural plane of things, we would say in our minds, well, what's the point? Because nothing is changing. Everything is going from bad to worse. God doesn't care. He's just letting all these things happen. And so, why should I bother? Well, that type of attitude, why should you care? Our Lord permits these things to happen for our good, to help us improve in our virtues. The opposition's there. But without opposition, we can't grow. There has to be some type of fight. The gospel refers to, and I'll get into more of it, but about going out and getting the good and the bad, and called them to the banquet feast here. The good, of course, are the cradle Catholics. The bad are those who could be cradle Catholics too, but also those who are converts that have turned their lives around and wanted something better. We always have to try to improve ourselves every single day that we live. We're dealing with a serious God, and life is serious. We never know what is going to come around the corner that may change our ultimate way of living. We just don't know. That's why our Lord always reminds us to watch and pray, because we just don't know what's around the corner. In this morning's gospel, our Lord tells a parable about a marriage feast for his son. And he's talking to the Pharisees and the chief priests and Pharisees, this parable, directing it right at them. And starts off with a monarch, the king, which they understand real clearly that the king is a monarch and he wants it his way or there will be consequences. And so he sends his servants out and tries to invite these people to the marriage feast. And they just ignore him. Just like in the other gospel there where he invites them and they start saying, well, could you hold me excused? I got to go take care of my farm or my animals. Or I'm married, I can't come. Well, in this one here, it's a flimsy excuse too. The invite was directed right toward the chosen people. And he's trying to express upon them their attitude of mind. You don't really care about heaven or God. You're more interested in your worldly pursuits. So the other servants that were sent were shamefully abused and killed. And when he heard about this, he reacted and destroyed them all. And said, well, those who were invited were not worthy. So now he turns his attention again. Well, the marriage feast isn't filled up. I want people here. I want them now. So go out everywhere and whoever you find, compel them to come. So they go out and find the good and the bad and who and whatnot. And these are the Gentiles, more or less. And those who are truly wanting to believe. And these are the ones that are invited. Now the custom of the marriage feast was they had a wedding garment. And everyone was issued one of these when they came to the feast. But lo and behold, one sneaks in there and doesn't have it on. And our Lord, and as it says, the king questioned right away, how did you get in here? He was speechless. So our Lord just says, bind his hands and feet and cast him out. Now, are we still going to pursue a worldly way of thinking all the way to the end, thinking that maybe we can sneak in? We have to rethink our thinking. Our Lord invites us to a great banquet, eternal life. He proved his love by suffering on the cross. See, it's all going back to the crucifixion, the proof of his love for us. He would gladly come down and suffer this all over again for each and every one of us. If he had to, he would do it again, gladly, to prove that he loves us. Now, he has given us the example and the things that we need to know. By being humble, being charitable, being patient with each other, helping each other as best we can, doing our daily duties, saying our prayers as best we possibly can, this is how we become saints. It's either all for the love of God or it's for nothing. We're all invited to this banquet feast. In fact, the whole human race is invited. But it is us, me and you, who have to make that choice. Do we want to go to this or not? If we listen to the world and their pursuits and get carried away with that kind of nonsense that they're promoting, that shows no care or interest in anything except their agenda, or do we prefer to suffer a little bit, to put up with the inconveniences that we have to in life, to tolerate those who do wrong to us? Don't be afraid to suffer. We all want to be saints. Not a carbon copy of a saint, each and every one of us. We have to do this by working out our salvation on our own, cooperating with God's grace. The saints before us had to do it, and we too have to do it. We have to think of eternal life. We have to think of the end goal. Do I really love my God? Do I really want to serve Him? Do I really want to know Him as He is? He gives us the answer real quick. If you love me, keep my commandments. Love one another. Be charitable. Be patient. And the reward's yours. That's it. The problem is self-will gets in the way. And that's what we have to fight against all the time. So each day, again, take it one day at a time. Offer up your daily duties. Persevere in your prayers. Because lots of times when we stop praying, the devil doesn't waste any time making his move. Remember what I said here a couple of weeks ago about the prayer of St. Michael? When the church stopped saying that prayer, hasn't been heard in over 60 years. And look at the chaos that has come from that one prayer not being said. That's how important it is. Prayer is very, very important. And the devil knows this. He knows it very, very well. As you know the saying, if he can get you to stop praying, he's got half the battle won. We don't want him to have any battle won. Don't ever be embarrassed to pray. Our Lord wasn't. We have to persevere. We have to continue on. Not be influenced by our friends or family or anybody else who might think we're kind of silly or old-fashioned or whatnot. It's not the case. It's what we know is right. It's what we believe in. It's what our conviction of our hearts, what we're telling, what we know is right. Because after all, we have to go out and show the good example. So hang in there and do your best. Give God your best. Always trying to improve yourself a little bit better than you did yesterday. Because after all, it'll be worth it. And in the end, you'll be so happy that you followed the advice of your loving Father who is in heaven. After all, He's the one who's doing all the work. He shows us the way. God bless you. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.